is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello everybody, this is Debbie Powell, the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne County, and I'm here at the Sonora UCCE office in downtown Sonora, right next door to Superior Court on Washington Street, otherwise known as Highway 49. Talking to David Wick. Hello, David.
Good morning.
Good morning. And David is a thoroughly fascinating individual. We've already had a really wonderful conversation, but I asked David to come in because David was instrumental in our beautiful little garden in front of the office, which David informed me is actually referred to, or used to be referred to, as a pocket park. So David, how did this whole process get started?
So I was looking for an opportunity to landscape in the foothills, and there was a gentleman by the name of Bill Sistek. And he was a landscape architect for the Forest Service. And he helped start Sonora Beautiful along with Sharon Maravich. And then Bill Sistek was working on the East Coast and the Sierra. And he went back to the East Coast, and I came up with a landscape plan for the pocket park.
And was this a volunteering on your part?
This was volunteering.
So you didn't even get paid for this?
No, this was a busman's holiday.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's such a kind of a novel way to put it. And this is, at the same time, you were still a gardener at Hetch Hetchy,
yes,
right?
Yes, I was still a gardener full-time. And I was looking for an opportunity to work in a different climate zone than San Francisco.
Okay.
So I wanted to become competent with heat and snow.
Wow. Two challenges.
Yes.
Of a gardener.
For a gardener.
And for anybody else, too.
That's right.
So you came up with the design, and how did you come up with the design? What influenced you?
So I had taken a number of design courses, and I had done personal gardening. The front of this place was a garden Mitch Terzich had built a home where the office is now.
Okay.
And had left the front with the one cedar tree and paved with asphalt.
Oh, the front used to be asphalt?
The front was asphalt.
Ew.
And so that was a challenge. So it was begun in 84, 85, and that's how I determined that I was interested, because of the challenge.
Oh.
So the asphalt was ripped out and the cedar tree remained, and it's since passed on.
Passed away. Okay. And with the brick courtyard, which everybody enjoys, anybody that, I see so many people sitting on the park benches in the brick courtyard. How did you even think to use brick?
So the Grigsby, Officer Grigsby, was teaching the convicts
okay.
a trade.
Oh.
So I, from landscaping perspective, then it's called repetition of form, and it's a form to unify the garden. So unity and repetition, that way you can add the landscape, but maybe if you have a lawn,
uh-huh.
then that might be unifying.
Now we've observed this garden, or I have for many, many years, and as far as I can tell, it's extremely low maintenance, which is wonderful. And so the plants that you installed really don't take a lot of care in.
No.
And now that they're matured, they don't even really take, it doesn't seem like very much water at all to keep them.
No, they
looking.
Would benefit from some water.
Okay.
You know, hose the leaves off or cool them down.
Right.
But that is your oven.
It is.
The reflected heat, the bricks absorb heat, and then they radiate the heat at night. But yes, it is low maintenance, and that's part of my design.
Well, and it, if you look at just this little garden with the bricks and the raised planter beds going, you know, circling around the garden, it's the shapes are really pleasing. They're very soft and flowing for the most part, which breaks up, it literally does break up the angular features of the building.
That's right. That was part of
that was
the
part
design.
Of your, okay. And then the plants that you picked out and are there, one of our favorites, I have to admit, and it's a plant or a tree that I think isn't really used a whole lot in landscaping, but we get so many comments, people walking by when it's in bloom, they love it, and that is the desert willow.
Yes.
That is, it has been an amazing tree because it can survive so much. And then the blooms, how would you describe it?
Well, it's in the Bignoniaceae family, which is the trumpet vine. So if you're looking for a succession of bloom, then this is late summer, early summer and late summer, it's still in bloom. But yeah, it's a trumpet-shaped flower.
And sometimes people have even referred to it as looking like an orchid.
That's
because
right.
of the shape.
The shape.
Right. And so it's kind of a dark pink, light pink, just amazing. In fact, somebody stopped me walking down the street. It was, I'm going to guess, maybe it was a tourist, and she just stopped me and she said, "By any chance, do you know the name of this plant?" And she thought it was an orchid. And I told her, and she was really happy and took lots and lots of pictures. And so I imagine she probably has one in her yard now. Now, how did you decide on, there's a tree there, and a lot of people may not even realize it. It's called a fern pine or a podocarpus. Is
so
the genus.
What the demands were for Sonora Beautiful, the considerations were plants of the pioneers was what we were moving towards. So the plants of the pioneers, for example, would be lilac.
Oh, yeah.
In this case, I interpreted it to be the burning bush, the euonymus, and the strawberry tree. The fern pine is an experiment that succeeded. The podocarpus is primarily a forest tree in the tropics. You'll see it all over Honolulu, for example, but it does survive the cold. So It's a lumber tree elsewhere in the world. I chose it for a Japanese garden look.
Oh, okay.
So what you end up with is called fine texture. So a fern is fine texture. The Woodwardia fern, the Woodwardia fern is a native. So you have a coarse texture for the Woodwardia, and then the desert willow is also a native, but the fern pine was fine texture.
Okay, so
you want fine texture, and then coarse texture would be the accent plant.
Okay, so as part of the total landscape design.
Right.
Also, what's really nice, because it's more of a narrow tree, so it doesn't occupy a lot of space. I'm trying to think, does it go maybe, it can stay within a real small radius. I know a lot of times they'll put them alongside buildings. They do all kinds of things with them because this plant happens to be a pretty tolerant plant. But so it fits into that raised bed really nice.
Right. This is the last principle of the landscape idea that I was working with, and it's called fenestration. So fenestra is the Latin for window. So I was looking for a straight tree, a tall shrub, and then on each side of the window is the plant. So you want to look at the window, you want to look through the window, and then you have the fenestra, the plants that are adjacent to the window but that don't interrupt with the view.
Oh, very nice.
That was my idea. So you have the five Podocarpus fern pine, and then the fern pine means that it's not a fern necessarily.
Right.
It's closer to a evergreen pine.
Right.
So you have fenestration, accent. In this case, the Woodwardia fern is the accent plant, and then you have unity. So
right.
Those are the three principles of landscaping that I was working with.
Well, it turned out wonderful. One of the things that I really like about the garden, I mean, I like the whole garden, but another aspect of the garden is you have so many plants that stay evergreen, including the fern pine or the Podocarpus. The strawberry tree,
that's also
evergreen. An evergreen tree. So typically, when you're in a colder climate,
that's right.
You have a tendency to only use plants that, of course, will survive the cold. And that happens to be a lot of deciduous plants or plants that would drop their leaves. So you were able to find these plants that can still tolerate the lower temperatures that Sonora gets. And with the strawberry tree, not only is it a wonderful shape and it has a really nice dark green color to the leaves, and a lot of times people don't even think about that. What color is the green?
That's right.
But it has edible fruit. Not that it's all that great to eat, but...
No, it's right. It is mealy. It's a little chewy, but I think the euonymus is also called the burning bush. So that's bright red, but I think that I was looking for green for the park, and there are many colors, many shades of green, and then on that wall in the autumn is the red of the burning bush. So that would also be considered an accent plant.
Right.
So
you have fall color.
You have fall color.
Okay. And then the Chinese pistache, which is now planted out front, the Chinese pistache happens to be the Sonora street tree.
Yes.
And people will recognize it because there's so many Chinese pistache planted around and
right.
throughout Sonora, throughout the Tuolumne County. They are blazing with color.
Blazing with color.
Just blazing. You can't mistake it. They're so beautiful. And that happens to be a pretty tough little tree. That
right.
is.
The toughness is important. You have the shedding of the leaves for, you know, you're like removing some element of pollution. Tree goes dormant, then it gets the winter rains, and then it's ready to re-leaf in the spring. But that is the street tree, and it is very tolerant of this urban
environment. Which is so challenging.
That's
pollution
right.
from cars, heat,
yes.
you know, all the different things. Now, maybe going back to the strawberry tree, which
yes.
has the red fruit.
Yes.
Did you also plant that maybe to give a chance for the birds to
yes.
eat something?
So you're kind of, with the design, you're incorporating many different considerations, and the birds are important.
So it's
not a butterfly garden,
okay.
which is a lot more maintenance. On a regular basis, just for the bird population, then you have that additional wild element.
Oh gosh, so it's low maintenance. It, for the most part, stays pretty all year round.
Yes.
Birds like it. Besides, we know people like it.
Yes.
And I think it's one of the most successful gardens I think I've ever seen.
Well, I think that it's the only front garden on the Sonora on Washington Street.
Yes.
It's the
yes.
remains of a residence, and this is it.
Right, right. And
there's no street trees to speak of.
No.
You know, the demands of the city were met with sidewalks and paving, and so this is a unique
garden. It is a very unique garden. It really is, and we have you to thank for it, David.
Well, that was my right. There are other master gardeners that were helping in the day, but I was the designer,
which is a great design. And then, like you said, it was the prisoners that built it. And at the same time, they were learning a skill.
Yes.
That once I'm assuming they left prison, that they could take out in the world and they could actually have some experience in laying bricks.
They would have had brick laying experience.
I think this garden is just a total win. And I sure appreciate you coming into the office. You just walked right through that little pocket garden to get to our office.
That's right.
And I thank you so much, because I look forward to always seeing it when I walk to the office. I enjoy it so much, and I know everybody else in Sonora enjoys it too. So thank you, David Wigg.
This
has been great.
This is KAAD-LP 103.5 FM, Sonora, California. Okay, this is Linda Reevely, and today I would like to be talking to you about the birds and the bees. This is UCC Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County, and the show is called Over the Garden Gate. Bees fly over the garden gate, so today we're going to talk about bees. Most specifically, I'd like to talk to you today about bee swarms. This is a time of year when bees actually swarm. A swarm is not a dangerous thing. It's just a reproductive mechanism that bees use to create more beehives or colonies of bees. When bees swarm, they are so focused on finding a new place to live that you are very unlikely to be stung by them. So if you see a bee swarm, don't worry about being stung so much as just worry about how absolutely interesting the process is. And you don't want to get right in the middle of it, because if they hit you when they're flying about, they will sting you. Bees don't have the best eyesight when they're flying, and they do run into you once in a while, and it makes them not real happy. So, a bee swarm. What is a bee swarm? A bee swarm is the old queen from a beehive who has been selected by her beehive. We don't think the queens generate this signal, but the bees themselves do, to leave that hive and find a new place to live. Since she is a colony animal, she cannot live by herself. She has to have a group of bees that are essentially like servants to her. They feed her, they clean up after her, they keep her warm, they help her to disseminate chemicals throughout a beehive that tells other bees what to do and where they're going and what's happening. She can't make her life alone. So they thin her down. A queen who is laying eggs is fat. It takes fat to produce eggs. And they thin her down because when she's laying, she can't fly. She's too heavy and too round. So they thin her body down by not feeding her. And that gives her the signal that something is about to happen involving the flying away. The bees at this same time are also creating new queens. And they will probably create several new queens in a hive. The first one to emerge from her pupal state in the bee comb will go around and find the other ones who have not yet emerged and kill them. And she is now the new boss queen of the hive. So the old queen flies with some of her bees. They're rarely good flyers. They fly just a ways away from the other hive, and they will land on a tree limb or a fence post, or I've even seen them on cars. They land all kinds of strange places, and you see these huge clouds moving through the air, which are the old queen plus anywhere between 35 and about 70% of the bees from the hive. They land right where she does. They are incredibly attracted to the scent of her body. Her body it produces these chemicals called the Nazanov chemicals. All bees do, but the queens are very special because all those worker bees that fly with her and the drone bees, who are the males, are all her offspring. And they are absolutely able to tell where she is and what's going on. And so they fly with her. She will land on a branch or any one of those other places, and they will all cluster around her in a ball. This ball is what's technically called a bee swarm. It's an amazing thing to see. It's a beautiful thing to see. And it is the absolute fundamental way that bees have to increase bee colonies in an area. Once they're in that ball, they will send out scouts, who are bees that will go off looking for some place to build a beehive. Now, bees will swarm usually in the spring, rarely past the 15th of June, but we have seen them as late as September. They swarm because the old hive is either too small or some unacceptable situation has occurred. Perhaps someone has tried to poison the hive and they've killed off, say, a third of the bees. And the hive is clogged with dead bees. That will make bees swarm. They want out of that box. They want someplace clean. They want someplace new to go live. If a beehive has too much Varroa mites,
too many varroa mites. They will carry those mites with them to the new place, but the simple act of moving leaves behind a large portion of the most dangerous of those mites. And so that gives them a new clean place. Now, what kind of place will they choose? Well, they will choose anything that's above the size of a 5-gallon water jug, but not too much larger than that. 5 gallons is about the right space for a common European honeybee setup. This can be between the rafters of your house, or your garage, or your attic, or an outbuilding, or underneath your trailer, or any number of places that you probably don't want bees. We have actually removed bees from someone's hot tub. Not definitely, you don't want bees in your hot tub. So these bees are looking for that place. They're opportunistic, that when they find a good space, the scouts go back to the big ball of bees, the swarm, and they do the dance, the waggle dance that you all learned about in third grade. They do that dance, and other bees will go and check out the spot. And when they all say, oh yeah, this is good, this could work, let's try it out, they all, just as quick as you can ever imagine, fly away. It's just immediate when they make the decision and they go. And the new queen gets into that box. They begin building wax for her to lay eggs on. As soon as there's some wax present, she will start laying eggs, and they keep building wax. She will get up to where she's laying 1,000 eggs a day. The beehive will grow. It will become a viable hive. In a few weeks to maybe a month, they will start building new queen cells for a new young queen. And as soon as that queen is ready to emerge, they will actually kill the old queen. And the new queen will take over. She's mom's genetics. She's ready to go. And she's just like a cloned replacement of the one that was there before. And that's how they spread their genetics about the neighborhood. If they spread them into your house, you should call me, because my husband and I have undertaken to help people with these issues here in Tuolumne County and in some of the adjoining counties. Our phone number is 209-533-0615. And if it's at all feasible, we will help you remove the bees. There are situations when it is not safe to take the bees out, or even possible sometimes. And in that case, we will advise you to call a pest control person who will then speak to us, because local pest control companies will not kill honeybees unless they have real direct permission to do so. So the bee swarm, not a dangerous thing, a truly lovely thing that is an exciting opportunity to watch a not terribly dangerous lot of bees in action doing what they naturally do. Thank you.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you. This is KAAD-LP 103.5 FM, Sonora, California.